I did not know. This will just prove to you I do pay attention to your newscasts, by the way.
I know you do. Every time.
Every word.
In fact, I think you go home and listen to them after.
On a loop. Mm-hmm. I put it on my Walkman. I have a cassette Walkman.
Oh, man.
That I like.
With your Cost Pro 4AA headphones.
No, I like the little foam ones.
Yeah.
Those ones, are the best.
Remember those little foam? I don't even know how you call them headphones.
Yeah. They're little circles of
foam. Oh, those were Telex headphones.
Were those the Telex Peep 364?
They were the 364-AA Z.
That's what I thought.
Point two.
So here's what I learned in the newscast today. I didn't know that Labor Day started in the Pullman neighborhood.
Well, Labor Day resulted from what happened in the worker strike in 1894 there. And it was quite a very tense situation. A number of workers actually were shot and killed during that labor strike, and it upset the rail system in the country. Mail wasn't delivered, goods and services weren't delivered, and finally, as a way to end the strike, Congress and President Grover Cleveland came to an agreement and said, okay, let's end the strike here, but we will now set aside a national holiday to honor
labor
and observe organized, those who work in the labor industries like that. Thus, Labor Day.
Never knew that. That would be a good far-flung forecast.
Well, we've done stories on that, and we'll be doing stories on it throughout the weekend here on WGN. And let me just say, it really is amazing to see what the National Park Service and the state of Illinois have done at the Pullman site down there on 111th and Cottage Grove.
The Roseland neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's an amazing tour. To tour that neighborhood.
Wow. Yeah.
Look at the old row houses and the old hotel and the whole deal there.
And now what they did with the old administration building for the new visitor center, incredible. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, I learned that in the newscast today, and I also learned that every time you say Grover Cleveland, I think of the Muppets.
Just Grover.
I think of our Muppet president, Grover.
Just call him Grove.
Grover Cleveland from the Muppets and the First Lady, Miss Piggy. I love them all. Happy Bike the Drive Day. I am looking out the window here at the beautiful WGN building on East Wacker Drive, watching people frolicking to and fro on DuSable Lakeshore Drive, enjoying the drive. Any incidents this morning at all, Schwani?
No, none.
Anything unusual?
None to speak of in terms of on Bike the Drive.
Everybody have their clothes on? Sometimes that'll happen during a bike ride. People will take all their clothes off.
Jessica was telling me that there were some reports of people in various costumes and that sort of thing, which is but in terms of being fully clothed, I think I haven't heard anything otherwise.
That's got to be uncomfortable to be in a costume
to wear, to ride all the way from 57th Street up to Hollywood or vice versa, depending on where you start.
Right. But I think I would I wouldn't want a costume. Costumes are traditionally very uncomfortable. Especially if you have a mask on.
And if you have those pant legs, too, you watch out and get caught in the chains.
Caught in the chains.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go flying over your handlebars.
On the other hand, riding your bike naked, also very dangerous.
Yeah. More uncomfortable than dangerous.
Well, depends.
Or embarrassing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Depends. You know, they do have that naked bike ride every year. Like a month ago or something like that.
That's a national thing.
It is.
They have it here in other cities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was at a friend's house years ago who lived on Michigan Avenue at the time. And, we're having a lovely evening of cocktails and conversation, because that's the kind of groups that I hang out in. And somebody said, oh, my gosh, look out the window. And hundreds of naked people were biking down Michigan Avenue. And I said, that can't be comfortable.
It's true.
On a good day, being on a bicycle seat is not comfortable. On a fully padded day.
Didn't you ride your bike a lot, though, when you were growing
naked?
Up? Not naked.
Oh, but
Didn't you ride? Growing up, I was on my bike
Non-stop.
All the time.
Non-stop.
I rode to school. I rode around the neighborhood. We had bike races.
Yeah, nonstop.
Yeah.
Schwinn Typhoon.
A Schwinn Typhoon.
Ooh, Schwinn
I had a
Stingray.
Schwinn Traveler. I had a Traveler.
Ooh, Stingray was cool.
I had
cool.
a Stingray with the banana seat.
Mm, Stingray yeah. was cool.
You were the man in the neighborhood.
Oh, I was. You know it.
I had what was called the monkey bars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
The monkey
yeah,
handlebars.
Yeah, the big high handlebars.
Kind of like
right?
chopper, you know, like mm-hmm. chopper handlebars. Because I also had a paper route. And we used,
oh, you could put the bag where you would throw the paper.
You used to tie these enormous. I swear these people that used to have kids. Do kids even still do that? Bike paper routes?
I guess they. Yeah, I have friends that had their kids did it.
I see grown-ups in their cars at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's because their kids won't get out and deliver the papers.
But back in the day, it was like slave labor. You had to go to the newspaper place. Tie up your newspapers with rubber bands, the green rubber bands, remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Pack them into your canvas bag, attach it to your bike. You must have had like 50 newspapers in this bag. And then you're riding through the neighborhood, tossing the papers on people's roofs and in their bushes.
Now, you know, I just learned something new here myself. Mm-hmm. I never knew you had a paper route.
Oh, yeah.
When you grew up.
Oh, yeah. I was rolling in the money back then. I'm pretty sure I made like a dollar or something like that.
Nice.
Slave labor. I'm telling you, it was slave labor. I don't know how...
I actually helped a friend with a paper route.
How's that?
Well, he just needed some help delivering the papers, you know, and he had a lot of houses to cover, so we helped him do it.
Like, I think
he gave us 50 cents or something like that.
That's not bad.
No. But I can remember, boy, after school, there was a time... Four or five different guys delivering papers.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Ttribune.
Oh, yeah.
The Sun-Times.
Chicago
of course,
American.
The Hammond Times, which is now the Northwest Indiana yeah. Times.
We had the Chicago American.
Remember Chicago Today?
Chicago Today, right.
Mm-hmm. Daily News.
The Afternoon. And also the Southtown Economist.
And the Economist, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we delivered all those. Horrible job. Horrible.
Did you have to go far from home to get the papers and then bring them back?
Well, the agency, if you will, was two blocks from my house. So that was
that wasn't bad. Okay.
That wasn't bad. And then my route was, you know, like, I don't know, like a four square block.
Every day.
Every day. Rain
day.
Or shine. Rain
yep.
or shine.
Yep.
Slave labor, I tell you.
And then you had people standing on their front porch yelling why you were late or they didn't get their paper yesterday.
Or they didn't like exactly where you threw the paper.
Or where you threw the paper.
Hey, you try riding this bike with all these newspapers on in here. And, you know, you're just trying to keep things moving. They wanted you to put it in a certain place. And after a while, I wanted to put it in a certain place, too.
Well, now that I know that you once had a newspaper route, I have a new name for you. Hmm. I'm going to call you Arnold now.
What do you mean, Arnold?
Because Arnold was the guy on the Flintstones that delivered the paper to Fred's house. So you're Arnold.
Okay.
And now
okay.
this is, you're Arnold.
All right. It's also a sweat hog name. So.
Yes.
So Horshack, yeah.
So that's good. I like that. That wasn't my worst job as a kid. The worst job that I had as a kid, remember those ice cream carts? You still see these carts where it's like a bicycle.
Right.
And oh, yeah.
It's an ice cream thing on the front.
Sure.
I had that for a short time also as one of my...
Did you have the dry ice in the...
I think so.
The big compartment where the ice cream and popsicles were stored?
I'm sure I must have.
And that was great to dump that out in a mud puddle and
watch the steam
rise.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's a horrible,
what fun in the summer.
Another slave labor job. You wonder why I am the way I am today.
Oh, there are other reasons.
It was an upgrade when I got the job bagging potatoes at the AP. Taking a 100-pound bag of potatoes and turning them into 5-pound bags. Wow, this has turned into a therapy session here. So the bike, the drive, what time's it going on till?
Till noon. It started, well, they closed off the drive at 6 this morning. Yeah. The bikes began at 6:30, but that will go until noon today.
Okay.
Beautiful day for it, too.
Hey, I'll have time because we have a short show. We're into short show season.
Yep.
You're just going to just take a bike over there and kind of get on Lakeshore Drive?
Maybe then? I'll get me one of those divvies.
Oh, okay.
How does that work?
How does it work?
Yeah.
Oh, you well, you go to.
I've never rented one.
Do I put my credit card in? Yeah, then you can return it. You know, there's a number. It can read your card and where you got the bike. And
well, most people just dump them in the middle of anywhere, don't they?
Yep.
That and the scooters.
You know, I've seen scooters around my neighborhood that have just been on the sidewalk.
They're just
abandoned.
They dump them anywhere.
Left there. Yeah. And there was one not far from where I live that was there for like 3 days on the sidewalk. Do people just leave them? What's the deal with that? I don't know the protocol.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I like when you do your Seinfeld, though. What's the deal with the scooters?
What's
the deal with the scooters?
You're not really scooting.
especially not on these scooters. Aren't they electric?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I hit a new level, quite an honor. Somebody on social media posted a thing saying that I am anti-cyclist.
Oh, nice.
Dean Richards.
Oh, because you've been complaining about all the bike lanes?
Yeah, here's the exact quote. Dean Richards is not what is that? I can't even read my own writing. Oh, Dean Richards is no friend of Chicago's cycling community. Because I have been complaining about the bike lanes, and mostly I've been complaining about the cyclists who ignore
traffic signals.
They want to share the road, but they don't want to follow the rules. So you wind up almost hitting them over and over again.
I've done that more than once.
Yeah. So, yeah, I am no friend of that. Ride your bikes all you want. I'm supportive of Bike the Drive. It doesn't get in anybody's way. It's perfectly safe. It's apparently very pleasurable, but when you start going from the far right lane and cutting in front of three lanes of motor vehicular traffic just out of nowhere, you put yourself in a great deal of danger, and you put all the motorists who would be liable if something happened. They would be the ones that have to pay for it.
Yep.
I'm no friends of the people who don't pay attention to the roads. You want to be on the streets, pay attention to you have to follow the rules,
too. Stop signs and lights apply as well.
That's what I am a friend of. Everybody getting along on the roads, not just all this like crazy stuff running through red lights and cutting over from the right lane to the left lane. And the scooters are doing the same thing now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody get out of my streets.
Imagine. Is the old guy's corner now.
You're promoting order.
Crazy.
How about that?
It's craziness. Craziness, I tell you.
You're really getting grumpy.
Getting? Where have you been for the last 20 years?
40 years.
So anywho, we start a short show season this week. We're off at 10:30. Because of Northwestern football, Andy, is that right? That is correct.
The season opener, 10:30 pregame, 11 o'clock kick in Piscataway, New Jersey against Rutgers.
I like when you make up city names like Shawnee does during the far-flung forecast.
It's just Piscataway.
Piscataway. Yeah. Boy, this is going to... Okay, that's next week's far-flung forecast.
Cool. I had some Piscataway with scallops and Parmesan cheese. That was delicious.
Deep fried.
Anything deep fried is good. Delicious. All right. So that means the short show means everything gets abbreviated. So we'll talk to Dr. Kevin Most coming up at 9:30, like we always do. Short version with Dr. Kevin Most this week. And then we went through the archives this morning and we tracked down an interview that we did in 2017 with Jimmy Buffett. Mm. I was heartbroken at the news that he had passed away when I read about it yesterday morning. And he was only 76 years old, which makes it all the more heartbreaking. And we now have learned a cause of death, which I'll share with you coming up in a few minutes when we play back that interview. A quick break and today's far-flung forecast coming up. Time once again for your far-flung forecast. Everything is abbreviated today. Schwani, hit it.
Okay.
When I nod my head, you hit it.
Well, good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors and devices because we are heading to New England today, to Falmouth, Massachusetts. Formed in 1660, officially incorporated in 1686. But there's a lot of seafaring activity that goes on there, including being the home of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, which won Dr. Robert Ballard.
What are you talking about today?
What, the Woods Hole Oceanographic
What's
Institute?
The whole thing?
It's the home of the institute, and it is also the group that led the first Titanic expedition.
Oh.
38 years ago,
Friday,
Dr. Robert Ballard discovered the Titanic 38 years ago, September 1st, 1985, but it was an expedition from the Oceanographic Institute under Dr. Ballard's direction that made that happen. And, of course, now we've seen many expeditions out to the Titanic that sank in 1912. Falmouth, Massachusetts has some nice weather today. They are 72 degrees, partly cloudy.
Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, my one-on-one conversation with now the late Jimmy Buffett. Makes me sad to have to say that. But what great music, what great memories that he left for us. Jimmy Buffett in a few minutes. Dr. Kevin Most right now, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, good morning. Nice to have you on with us as always. Real quick, the Jimmy Buffett website this morning is reporting that the cause of Jimmy Buffett's death, Merkel cell skin cancer. How common is that? How concerned should we all be with something like that, with the super hot weather and being out in the sun, I presume, is what causes that, right?
Absolutely, Dean. And, you know, it's not surprising. And, I mean, I think he even admitted how much time he spent out in the sun. And the interesting thing about Merkel cell is it's when we think about cancer and we talk about melanoma, right? And it's dark. It's a different color. It's oddly shaped. Merkel cell is a little bit different. They're usually flesh colored and they're usually on the face and neck. So it's really one that if you start to see a bump on your face, even if it's a normal skin color, it certainly is something to look at. And not so much the heat related, but how much time we spend in the sun and having a weakened immune system will certainly cause this.
Yeah. Well, he was hospitalized earlier this year. They never really disclosed what it was, but now they're saying that he was being treated for skin cancer at that time. And now we learn through his website that this was apparently his cause of death. So people are going to be out in the sunshine anytime. This week is going to be sunny weather. Cover yourself, use the protection, the skin lotions, and all that. Those are the things that how you can protect yourself, right?
Absolutely. You know, you probably get it right on the head. There is unfortunate of his death and the cause of his death, but if we can take this as a reminder to protect ourselves, the impact of his death will be making more people be safer going forward. And the importance of putting on sunscreen, even on young kids, probably one of the biggest things is we put sunscreen on ourselves, we forget about our kids, and then also making sure we reapply it to the children after they've been out, and certainly if they're in a swimming pool and they come back out, to put that on. So, unfortunate on his death, Merkel cell grows rapidly, so not surprising that it was just a couple of years that he had this. But please, protect yourself, protect your skin. It's the biggest organ in our body and the most important defense system we have.
Yeah. So the cases of COVID continue to rise. Are we at a point of alarm with this yet?
No, not an alarm, but certainly awareness. We all have to understand that the cases are creeping up again. Hospitalizations are creeping up. Nowhere near where we were last year, but they certainly are going up. And with a couple new strains out there, we're a little concerned. And then you couple that with, you know, the booster and where do we stand with the booster and when will the fall booster be out? All of those give the uncertainty of what should we do next.
So what should we be doing next? I keep hearing that we may be going back to masking in order to protect ourselves and protect others who may be around us. Does it look like it's headed in that direction?
Well, I don't think we're going to see a federal or CDC mandate on masking unless the hospitals get to a point of being stressed. I certainly think that you are going to see employers make that determination based more on their workforce and the extent of the expansion of their workforce getting ill. There's a couple hospitals in New York that have gone back to mandatory masking. But for the most part, I think we're going to be watching it. I don't think the general public will take it well, knowing that we all have a little bit of immunity and pretty much many of us have very good immunity. It's the uncertainty of this new strain and whether immunity will be taxed as we try to fight this one off.
And we are weeks away from a new COVID vaccine, which would address this new strain, correct?
Well, we're hoping, right? So the new vaccine that's coming out probably third week in September, so just like you said, a couple weeks away, is going to be based on the XBB strain, which is the predominant strain going into the spring and early summer. Now, since then, we've had two strains that have popped out, EG5 and BA2.86. Those are strains of concern right now because there were so many mutations in these strains that they're concerned that they may be able to evade the immune system that we have in the vaccine. That is unknown at this point. We should not be overly concerned because these strains are coming from XBB. So as far as a lineage point of view, we have much better protection with this vaccine than we do with our flu shots.
The minute you come on the air each week, have the phone lines go nuts with questions. Mostly about vaccines. Here's one. If you have received 5 COVID vaccines, but not the most recent booster, do they still provide protection if you should get COVID?
Okay. So when they say the most recent booster, that would mean the BA4, BA5. If they got that, you know, they could have got it as late as last year at this time. If they got the next booster as well, when we opened it up for a second booster in like late May, early June, you're still about as good as you're going to be able to get. I would certainly get the XBB when it opens up in 2 weeks. But certainly individuals right now, I would say, unless you are highly immunocompromised or concerned about something going on, I would wait a couple weeks to get the newest vaccine, which is a little bit more precise as to what we're seeing in the community.
Another text from 847. My daughter tested negative 3 times this week, was fully vaccinated, but tested positive on Friday night. Can a test identify the new strain?
But the way the question is asked is very interesting, right? Can it identify the new strain? It can't identify that this is the new strain, but it still is available to identify that you have COVID. Now, you may be splitting hairs right there, but it's actually one of our biggest concerns right now is from the surveillance side. We don't know how many of these new strains are out there because people are testing at home, testing positive, and we're not going on to do the genetic lineage. So it certainly could be the new strain. And as a matter of fact, if you were a gambling individual, you would probably think that it was. But that's still, you do everything that you normally would. Isolate, you know, watch your symptoms. If your symptoms get worse, make sure you get into the doctor because Paxlovid, which we still have doses available in the state of Illinois, actually helps shorten the duration of this illness.
Yeah, boy, I sure never thought we were going to be talking about this again, but I guess that's just the nature of this. As you've said before, this is something we're going to have to live with from now on. So I guess it's going to come and go. So we'll keep you posted. We'll keep Dr. Kevin Most close by to answer questions. Kevin is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kev, have a great Sunday. Appreciate all the info as always.
Dean, we'll talk soon.
Thank you, sir. But I know it's nobody's fault. Boy, that's just a song that turned Jimmy Buffett, a quirky kind of folk singer, into a mogul that created a brand, created a clothing line, restaurants, you name it. It mostly created a lifestyle of just enjoying life, you know, sipping a margarita, not taking life too seriously. That's what Jimmy Buffett wound up representing, especially with this song. February 1977 is when it came out, Margaritaville. Jimmy Buffett died yesterday at the age of 76 years old. His family issued a statement saying that Jimmy passed away peacefully, surrounded by family, friends, music, and his dogs. He lived his life like a song till the very last breath and will be missed beyond measure by so many. Jimmy was especially, at first they did not announce the cause of death, but this morning the Jimmy Buffett website did announce that the official cause of death, that he died at his home in Sag Harbor, New York, and he actually died on Friday, died of Merkel cell skin cancer, something from which he suffered for quite some time now. I actually had to cancel appearances earlier in the year as a result of it. In lieu of flowers, Buffett's family are asking fans to make donations to Jimmy Buffett's foundation, Singing for a Change, to the Brigham and Women's Hospital, the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and MD Anderson Cancer Center. So it's just a sad, sad story, because nobody represented living life to its fullest and not sweating the small stuff more than Jimmy Buffett. And we here in Chicago have a special place, as Jimmy had a special place for Chicago, going back to the 1960s when he was a regular at the old Quiet Night Folk Music Club, where he would go and play and where he struck up a friendship with another Chicago favorite, the great Steve Goodman. It was Steve that passed along his love of the Chicago Cubs to Jimmy Buffett, and where Jimmy Buffett became the first person ever to do a concert at Wrigley Field in honor of Steve Goodman, and he would go on to perform there many times over the years. So Chicago meant something to Jimmy Buffett, and I thought today we would go back for an interview that I did with Jimmy Buffett back in 2017, a play that was based on his music called Escape to Margaritaville had just opened in Chicago. In fact, this what you're going to hear is the opening night. We were there to see the show, and during intermission, we got to go backstage with our cameras and our microphones, and we talked with Jimmy Buffett about the play, about the musical, about his life, about Chicago, the great Jimmy Buffett.
Explain to me, you know, what it's like for you. You've seen the show many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are at intermission right now. So what,
yeah.
You took notes. What are you thinking?
Well, first thing on, they're on tonight. I mean, you know, I do this for a living, too, in another phase of it. But it's been such an incredible thing. Few people don't. It's been a five-year project, basically. So from the, you know, kind of idea to inception to production and stuff. So, and getting here, it's just part of me, I still can't believe I'm out there watching it, because it's very strange to see other people do your songs. But then the other thing is the incredible way that our writers and everybody involved kind of got the essence of what it really is a simple story about escapism. And I watch the audience. And then it thrills me on one side to go, I can't believe it's here, and it's really doing well. And, you know, we're on our way to Broadway, and who would have ever thought?
In your wildest dreams, could you have ever imagined that, you know, this would have happened with all your songs?
Not until I saw other things. I've always been a musical theater, a lover of musical theater and lover of plays. Really? And living around New York, I've always gone to the theater for a long time, and I saw things that And people would say to me, you know, well, you know, you could do one of those. The Margarita could be a musical. And it kind of came from other people's suggestions. It wasn't something I was driven to do.
So on that note, I saw you last week with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
He came out and joined you for the curtain call. And you had seen Hamilton about six times?
Nine.
And nine times. And once from the production booth, right?
Well, I did it a couple of times because, you know, I've been lucky enough to have been shepherded by the Nederland organization for a long time. I knew Jimmy Sr. back 32 years ago. He had literally offered me a one-man show on Broadway, but things didn't work out. But I always had a connection to Jimmy Jr. and ran Poplar Creek. So I've had a long love affair with Chicago and theater and things that went on down here. So when all of that kind of came together, I thought, you know, this could happen. And it just, you know, it kind of worked. And then other people, as I said, were more kind of interested and kind of had the passion to do it. And I just followed along as the writer of it. It's an incredible thing to kind of get involved with this.
Talk to me a little bit about your love affair with Chicago. I mean, it goes back.
It goes back.
To the day, right?
To the day. I mean, Richard Harding had a club on Belmont called The Quiet Night.
I remember it well.
And I played they used to have, like, showcases for talent, and my manager had one in Nashville, and Richard came to it, and he had some other acts, and who knows why Richard kind of saw something in me and booked me to come up. And in those days, he, as the opening act at the Quiet Night, you played for a month, but the headliners came every week. So I saw an incredible amount of talent and met an incredible number of people at the same time. You cut to Steve Goodman was rising, John Prine was here, Bonnie Kolak, the Holstein brothers. So I immediately fell into a crowd that were local Chicagoans that kind of adopted me, and from there, you know, sitting in the bleachers
The old Quiet Night was right down the street. It was right at Belmont and Sheffield.
As the opening act, I went on at 7, so the games might have been over at 5.
Right.
So I'd get a buzz on in the stands, go take a nap, and go to work.
Why do you think that Chicago connects so well with your music? I mean, this, you know, this Margaritaville vibe, this Key West kind of vibe. Chicago is really...
It's a beach town. It is a beach town. You know, when I first came here, I mean, I'm supposed to know something about geography, but the one thing it was when I came here the first time, there's Lake Michigan. The beaches on Lake Michigan are incredible, and I think that there is a connection to open water. There's a great Midwestern work ethic, and the fact of it is that people, when they work hard, tend to play hard. And many people from here that I knew at that time, in middle of February, if they've got the means, they get to Florida. And I'd run into them. I just looked at license plates in Key West and where they're from. Illinois, Ohio, Michigan. Bingo. You know, so I was getting them on one end when they're on vacation. So when I came out to work here, I just kind of fell in love with every kind of aspect of this city.
And now it's back to Wrigley Field this summer. Yeah,
yes, right? We're coming back.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be invited back because that was a good one last year.
Yeah, it sure was.
I don't know how sure we can top that, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, it's always good.
It's great to be in Chicago with this show on the way to Broadway, and this is what they all say here. You know, this is where you know whether you got it or not, you know, and you never know what the public's going to buy, but I think we got a good shot. And thanks to everybody in Chicago for coming.
That means that we're off early today.
Mm-hmm. Very good observation.
Not that I'm looking forward to it or anything.
Arnold.
We're off at 10. The show ends at 10:30 today. We begin football preemption season, right?
Football preemption season.
So we're off at 10:30 this week. We're off at 10:30 next week. And then Andy's little friends, Hamp and OB.
I'm little compared to them. Come on. They're not little.
I think this is the year that you get tough with them.
No.
I think this is the year. What's their first show? Next week?
Next week.
Bears,
I
Packers.
Think you
11
start
o'clock.
The show. You start the show going, look, you two mopes. I'm not going to take any blank from either of you this year. You sit over there
under the table.
You sit over there and shut up. You sit over there and shut up. I will tell you when to talk.
So we'll definitely be testing the strength of those double-paned windows we have in that studio right there. Can they support the human body?
This is the year that Andy gives it right back to them. Can't wait. All right, so we're off at 10:30 now. Now, Shawnee, do you continue to do the news?
No, because we have a pregame at 10:30, and the game starts at 11, and we go straight through.
Mr. Cat, Dave Ennett takes over,
right?
At 10:30. Yes, he does.
So you're off, too.
Well, I am, but I am.
I was talking to Andy.
I will be.
Yes. Oh, okay. I was talking to Andy. Settle down.
Okay,
we'll get back to you.
Okay, Arnold.
We'll get back to you in a second. Relax. Yeah.
Wait your turn.
We can talk to other people on the show,
I was going to compliment you on the Jimmy Buffett interview, too. It was a wonderful interview.
Thank you. But shut up anyway. Andy, so you'll be off, too.
I will be off, too, yes.
So let's do this. Let's at 10:30, we'll just go down on Wacker Drive and continue to do the show.
Why not? We can go on the kayaks.
We'll put... we sit in front of the building.
Oh, perfect.
We put a big hat or something down on the ground. We make a little side bunny.
Oh, nice.
I'll insult Schwani for a half an hour, and he can...
I'll keep an eye on the cash.
Keep an eye on the cash.
People walk by, and we'll say, hi, we're doing a show on WGN.
Schwani, before the show started today, Schwani unveiled a little newsroom dance that he does.
Yes, he did.
Andy and I both, Jess.
That's worth a couple of bucks.
The three of us witnessed something we'll never, ever be able to unsee now.
And he's doing it again.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Look at you. Look at you.
Well, you brought up one of my favorite 60s groups. I had to do the twist.
All right. Show continues at 10:30 on Wacker Drive. Be there. Oh, Lord, what have I unleashed? This is the song that we were talking about in the newsroom before the show, and Schwani broke into his little dance. You're like a hullabaloo dancer in there now.
I'm young again.
You love this song. Have you ever heard this in your life before, Andy?
This will be a first.
Yeah. It is such a feel-good summer song.
I remember this song. Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Mm-hmm. Andy, this would be the son of Jerry Lewis.
Ah, okay.
Gary Lewis and his group, the Playboys. I like the band because any band that's got an accordion player in it is my kind of band. I wish Bruce Springsteen would get an accordion player. You know what I like to see? Pink up on the wires.
With an accordion.
With an accordion. Anybody can go up there and turn upside down and tumble and sing. You play an accordion up there.
Play the accordion with it? Yeah.
That's something.
That's a lookout below kind of thing.
Wow.
It sure is.
Man, did we ever tap into a Schwani nerve with that one?
I love that song.
I see we're doing a dance segment at our Tree Time show this year.
And then another favorite from that era, Sugar and Spice and Everything Nice by the Crying Shames. Chicago's own Crying Shames.
Yeah, that's a good one. You don't have to yell at me. It's okay.
I'm not. I'm just being enthusiastic.
I can hear you. We have microphones. We have electronic amplification. Yeah. I can hear you. Settle down. By the way, the Tree Time show apparently is going to be, it's right around the corner now.
Hmm.
November, what did we say, 5th?
Yes, right. Is that right? Fifth. We had other dates were involved, but I believe it is. Yes.
Yeah,
right.
We've changed the date about six times so far.
Okay. Something like that.
But for right now, put it on your social calendars. That's the day that we unveil the new dance called the Schwan. Everyone do the Schwan.
No, the Schwani.
The Schwani.
The Schwani. I can see we can play that song and everybody just getting up and dancing at the tree time.
Because usually
the tree time,
the only time that people usually get up is when the pizza arrives,
right?
Exactly.
The Lou Malnati's. So we're off early today. We're off at 10:30. And what are you going to do with your extra time today?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were talking to Andy or not. You said I interrupted you earlier.
You did, well, because you did.
Oh, okay. But I am going to continue on this Labor Day weekend laboring in the newsroom
here. I thought you said you were done.
I'm done with newscasts, but I am laboring on Labor Day tomorrow, and I am preparing for tomorrow's morning drive segment.
Don't you have to wait until news happens, until you write the news?
I'm working on some special stories for tomorrow.
Like what?
A Labor Day story, history of Labor Day.
Like what?
Well, we talked about it an hour ago, the Pullman story and how that came to be.
So it's already done then.
Excuse me.
One of my favorite things when I take Andy right to the edge. It's one of my favorite things.
That's awesome.
You going to be doing a This Day in History?
Yes, right. We're going to be doing that tomorrow. All right, I'm done. I'm not talking to you anymore.
What are you going to do today, Andy?
I'm going to go home and take a quick nap because I'm going to the TV station today.
Naps are so nice.
Doing a little sports today on the old number nine.
Watch Andy on the number nine tonight.
Well, yeah. You're nice to him.
Give me a minute.
It's still a honeymoon period, yeah?
I was nice to you the first 10 years, yeah. Too.
First 10 minutes, maybe.
We can watch Andy. Hey, if you need a story about the Labor Day and Pullman, Schwani's already got one written for you.
Yeah, I was thinking about leading with that, but I think there'd be a couple other things that might take over.
What'll be the big story today? The Northwestern?
Yeah, Northwestern,
game?
Probably today, yeah. And the Cubs looking for a split of their series in Cincinnati as the playoff chase continues.
Yep. Okay. Can look forward to that.
It'll be fun.
I'm also going to take a nap today.
Naps are great.
Nice. So, like, hot outside, you go inside the air-conditioned house. And it's nice and...
It's a great thing.
And then I think I might work in the yard a little bit.
Cool.
Are you going to cook out?
It's been a while since I've given my neighbors the treat of looking at a big sweaty mess that I can be when I'm out working in the yard.
Are you going to do any grilling?
I think I might.
Great weekend for it. Don't have to really fire up the grill. It's going to be hot enough.
Oh, anything I love on a 95-degree day is standing in front of a hot grill.
Yeah.
Now, I think I'm going to grill some veggies. I'm going to make... I made on TV the other day, I made a pasta salad with some grilled veggies and feta cheese and pesto and a whole bunch of... It was a no meat in it at all. It was delicious. And I think I'm going to make that again today because I'm going to relatives tomorrow for a Labor Day get-together. So I think I'm going to make it a day ahead of time because pasta salad always tastes better the next day.
Yep, everything soaks in.
Yep. So I think I'm going to do that and then take another nap.
Perfect.
And when I wake up from that, take another nap.
Take another nap after that.
Yeah. Those naps make you tired.
They're exhausting. Exhausting. You have to keep waking up and going back to sleep.
Yeah.
We're going to get to our theater segment in just a moment. One of the classics of American musical theater has just opened out at the Marriott Lincolnshire Theater. The Great Gypsy is coming up in just a minute.
Oh, be swell. You'll be great. Gotta have the whole world on a plate. Starting here, starting now. Honey, everything's coming up roses.
One of the songs from one of the greatest musicals of all time, Gypsy, that has just opened at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire. A fantastic story of a stage mother fighting for her daughter's success, and playing the great starred Rose is Lucia Spina this time from Broadway, who joins us on the phone. Lucia, thanks for joining us, and welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Dean. Thank you.
So nice to have you here with us. I get goosebumps when I hear the songs from the show because it's just so quintessential. How must you feel performing these great songs?
Oh, I mean, it's a ride. I keep telling people, like, it's a train. You just jump on it, and you have to keep going. And these songs have been around forever, and the music is amazing, and the lyrics are amazing, and they're just timeless. It feels you know, you feel a little bit like you're a part of history when you get to do stuff like this, you know?
Yeah, I would think so. Now, you've starred in so many productions on Broadway. Is this your first time at the Marriott Lincolnshire?
It's not, actually. I haven't been to the Lincolnshire since 2005-2006 season. I did Oliver here eons ago. And then I moved to New York at the end of that, end of 2006.
Okay, all right. So you're kind of back home again. Is it fun to perform in the round like that and have people just an arm's length away from you?
Oh, yeah. I've always enjoyed performing in the round. I think it's a really fun experience. I think as an actor, you get to be more of a person. You know, when you play in a proscenium, you have to stand a certain way so people can see you. And in the round, there's always going to be somebody who can't see your face. But you act with all parts of your body. You get to just, I don't know, I feel very comfortable in the round, personally.
A much more kind of, organic performance, right?
I think so, at least for me. Yeah. That's how I feel. I feel like I can just be, which is nice.
What do you think the magic is behind Gypsy? I don't know the year that it first came out, but I know it's been around for decades and decades, and there have been some classic performances. And there's something about this show that just doesn't matter what year, doesn't matter what generation, there's something about Gypsy that is super relatable to people somehow.
I think at the end of the day, it's a family story and how families survive or don't survive. And I think it's relatable. I think it's just super relatable at the end of the day. I think that's why it's lasted so long. I think it was 57, I think, when it first showed up on Broadway. It's just, I mean, outside of it being extremely entertaining, it's a family story. How do you work? Anybody who works with their family, it's a challenge,
right?
But just being in a family, period. Even if you don't work with your family, there's always ups and downs and hard things, and people get hurt even when other people have the best of intentions. And there's also great moments of joy where this family gets to celebrate and have a great time. And you know, no family is perfect, and I think that's why this story sustains personally.
Yeah. Story of family, as you say, but in particular, a mother-daughter story, which I think makes it so relatable. But in a greater sense, isn't it sort of, it's a story of perseverance. It's a story of never letting the obstacles of life get in the way of you doing what you want to do. Who can't relate to that? Or hopefully.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Oh, yes. And there's always going to be obstacles, and you may or may not get through them. You know, you may or may not get what you ultimately wanted because of those obstacles, but how do you navigate through them? How do you wake up in the morning and be like, I'm going to try again, or I'm going to move on? Like, those are choices every person makes every single day.
Rose is just such a great character to be able to step into those shoes. Just, you know, must be great. You say you feel like you're a part of history, you know, being part of it. I completely understand that.
I mean, it's many people say, it's like the King Lear of roles for women in musical theater.
Yeah.
You know, she rarely leaves the stage. She rarely shuts up, whether she's singing or speaking. And she walks into a room and just commands it every single time. And so there's this massive energy that has to come along with the load of everything else in the show. And, you know, it's not the show that's done all the time. I mean, it's done often, but, you know, it takes a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I
was just going to ask, who's playing on stage with you?
So we have Nathaniel Stampley, who's a Chicago favorite, also Broadway vet, playing Herbie. And Lauren Maria Medina is playing Louise. And Tori Heinlein is playing... I'm so sorry. It's playing June.
Yeah.
So that makes up the core family there. Nate and I haven't worked together since we did Big River at Apple Tree Theater.
Oh, wow.
Like 1999-2000 season, very long time ago. So
in
really
Highland Park?
Connect with him.
Apple Tree in Highland Park? Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I haven't thought about that theater in a long, long time. That's a great
memory. Well, I think it's gone now. But
yeah,
the great Eileen Bovers directed us in that, and it's just it's such a trip being reunited with Nate. So
Gypsy,
the girls are lovely, and
Gypsy has just opened at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire. It'll be there until October the 15th. You want great performances and great songs. This is the one to see. Just one of the great musicals of all time, Gypsy, starring Lucia Spina as Rose. And I'm so glad you could join us today. I look forward to seeing the production soon.
Me too, Dean. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us.